So what is it in your life? Maybe it's a struggle with sin. Maybe there's a sin that is besetting you, that it's hemming you on every side, and maybe you've had victory in the past, but now you just over and over again find yourself failing and being defeated. And you say, I've got this. I don't need to let anybody know. Well, according to Paul, God's plan is that some other believers come around you and help you. If they're going to restore you, it's going to take a spirit of meekness on their part. It's also going to take a spirit of meekness on your part. We're really good at not asking for help. And that's a good thing in some ways. But there are times when we have to be open to go to a loved one, a family member, a mentor, someone who cares for our soul, and say, I need you to pray with me. I need you to keep me accountable. I need you to help me. Because there's a burden here that I'm not able to bear alone. I've tried. And I can't do it. And I need God's help. I need your help. Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens. There are things that we need help to carry. Maybe that burden is pressure. Maybe it's pressure from your work. Maybe it's pressure from your family. Maybe it's strain from a relationship. Maybe you're caring for a loved one that's failing. There's people who are bearing up under weights of grief. Maybe someone who's experienced a breakup of a relationship. Anyone who's experienced a loss, whether physical loss, emotional loss, financial loss. People are hurting in different ways. Sometimes we're really good at covering it. You know what else we are good at sometimes? Of ignoring it. We see someone with a need. We see them staggering around. We say, man, I hope they don't fall. I sure hope somebody comes in there and helps them. Paul says, you do it. You get in there and you see if you can help them with their burden. You see if you can somehow lift that load a little bit. Burden bearing may involve helping to relieve them in some way. It may involve some time, some effort, maybe even some money. Or it could be just as simple as being a listening ear. Many of us can relate to that. There's a time when you just feel like everything is crumbling and you just need someone to listen. You don't need them to say anything. We men, sometimes we like to solve things, but sometimes you just need them to listen. Just let you pour out your heart and care. And sometimes that's all we can do. Maybe there's a situation someone around you is in and you know there's nothing I can do to help them. I can't fix it. So I distance myself. That's probably my natural tendency. If I can't fix it, I want to get away from it because I feel funny. I feel strange if I can't do anything to help them. Sometimes just loving, just caring, just praying with them, just coming under saying, hey, I see what you're going through and I care. And I want you to know I'm here to help in any way that I can. But we have to remember people can't help if they don't know. Be humble enough to admit if you're wrong. Be humble enough to ask for help. Be humble enough to seek out that person that you know cares for you, cares for your soul, and wants to be a help to you. Now there's a phrase here in the second part of verse 2. It says, so fulfill the law of Christ. Now that's a strange expression. We could take you to dozens of other passages. In fact, you could take you to Galatians 5, and we're talking about the flesh and the spirit. We're talking about law and liberty. Christ freed us from the law, right? Wasn't that the point? Christ came to deliver us from having to keep the law. So what is this law of Christ? Well, many think that Paul is using somewhat of a tongue-in-cheek just jab at those who would be the legalizers, those who would be saying, you have to keep the law. And he's saying, hey, you want a law to keep? Here's a law for you to keep. How about you keep this one, the law of Christ? Well, what is the law of Christ? What law does Christ give to those who follow him? Well, John 13, verse 34. I'll turn there briefly. You can turn if you'd like, or you can just listen as I read. Listen to the law that Christ gives us. He tells his disciples after he washed their feet, he says, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also to wash ought to wash one another's feet. Christ shows by his example of his desire to have us love one another, to serve one another. Christ in other place tells us that the point of love, of law, and liberty is to serve. I'm going to turn back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And that is not the right verse. The point that I had written down when I had the right verse. Ask me later, I'll get it to you. The point of law and of liberty is to serve others. God wants us to use the liberty. I found it. Here it is, 5:13. For brethren, ye have not been called unto, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Look at the next phrase. But by love serve one another. So what is the law of Christ? It's using the liberty we have to serve others. It's using the freedom that we have to care about the needs of others. That we've been freed to serve. So the way to fulfill the law of Christ is to bear one another's burdens. Almost as an aside, we see verses 3 and 4, and we'll look at these briefly together. Sandwiched between two types of burdens, Paul clarifies a little bit. You look at verse 3, he says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." In context of bearing burdens, what does this mean? As best I can tell from studying it, it seems that Paul is warning us there's some things that are going to trip you up if you're trying to serve others around you. You know what the first one is that's going to really mess you up? It's pride. Verse 3 talks about thinking we are something when we really are nothing. Having an overly inflated view of ourselves. Thinking that we are better than we actually are. Being so focused on ourselves. What causes us to miss the needs around us? The fact that we are focused right here. I deserve this and I need that. And somebody else needs to be looking out for me. I'm not going to go around trying to take any more work, any more pressure on me than I need. I've already got enough. Y'all can deal with that. Y'all should be coming to me. And there is a right sense. And verse 4 addresses that, of proving our own work and having rejoicing in our own work, not trying to look at others and how we relate and whether we're better. Not trying to think, well, I'm better because I did more than this person, or I have fewer burdens than they do, so God must love me more. That is not the point. That's missing the point. Pride blinds us to our own neediness and makes us think only about ourselves, only in context of our own needs. Instead of deceiving ourselves, according to verse 4, we need to take a good, honest look at what we're doing. How are we living? Are we pleasing God with the way we're living? Are we carrying out the responsibilities that God has for us? And this, I think, transitions right into verse 5, which then gives the contrast. It says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." So here's the contrast. There are shareable burdens, and then there are individual burdens. There are burdens that we need to carry by ourselves. The first part of this text is great, right? Somebody ought to be sharing my burden. Somebody ought to be helping me. Somebody ought to be making my rent payment. Somebody ought to be fixing my car. Somebody ought to be watching my kids and mowing my lawn. That'd be great, right? I have all these responsibilities. Well, hold on a minute. This is where we need to differentiate between verse 2 and verse 5. Verse 2 talks about a heavy load that's for more than one person, something that's shareable. You know what verse 5 talks about? Talks about an individual burden, something that you ought to carry, okay? You see these siblings walking home from school, and the oldest sibling is carrying all of the siblings' backpacks. No, that's not the point. You're supposed to do what? Carry your own backpack. That's kind of the picture, the word picture there in verse 5. That word for burden is fortion. It indicates a proper and fitting load, one that has been laid out for this thing. In fact, it's the word they would use of how a ship was laden. Okay, when you talk about the ship's burden, the ship's load, that's something that they laid out to put on the ship. And if you were good at loading ships, you figured out how much a ship could handle before you put it on, so your ship didn't go straight down, right? So to load a ship, to put a ship's burden on it, this kind of burden, you had to know how much was appropriate, how far across was the decking, how much could it bear and still stay upright in the water. That's the burden that's here. This is a pre-measured, inspected burden that is fitting for what goes there. This is God looking down at you and saying, there's some things I want you to carry. I didn't design that for you to hand that off to somebody else. This is for you. It also describes a child in the womb, a load that only a mother could carry. That's a load that's impossible to share. So some of these things cannot be shared. Another way to phrase it would be every man should carry his own backpack. There's some things that multiple people need to carry, but there's some things that you need to carry. Now, here's the trick. How do you know the difference? Some things it's hard to tell. Going back to where we were earlier, are there struggles that we face? Are there pressures and stress and times where we're just not sure? Is this something I should bring someone else in on? Is this something that I just need to, before the Lord, get on my knees before Him and say, God, you help me to bear this. This is for me and you alone. And it's hard to know sometimes. That's where, as a believer, you need to seek the Lord and say, God, well, what is this? Show me. If this is something that I can't bear and I need to bring in your people to help me, please make it clear to me. And God is able to show you. One way He can show you, especially if it's a sin struggle, if it's a sin that you continually cannot get victory over, you find yourself defeated again and again and again, I would say that's probably an indication that God's giving you, you need to bring in the body. If you're going to be restored, if you're going to be built back up, there's a very good chance it's going to involve a loving community, believers that want to help you, that want to encourage you, that aren't going to let you stay where you are. What are some of these things that we can't take away from others? What are individual burdens that cannot be shared? I would say pain. Pain is a burden that I can't take away from you. Now, there's things we can do to try to soothe it, to try to alleviate it, to try to make it manageable, to try to encourage you in it. But we can't take away another's pain. God can, in His way, or God may choose to give them grace to bear up under it. We find the Apostle Paul. God didn't take away his pain. God didn't take away his suffering. God made him strong to bear it. And God may have put something in your life that you would wish so badly that it would be gone. But His will may be for you to continue to bear up under that pain. What else can we not take away? Temptation. I can't take away your temptation. I can put up rules, I can put up walls, I can put up web filters, I can put blinders on your eyes, but I can't take away your temptation and you can't take away mine. We're carrying around a rotten old man that's dead, but it has pull on us. There's still that pull of the flesh. I can't take away your temptation. Parents, you can't take away all temptations from your kids. You know what we have to do? We have to try to point them to the one who will help them overcome temptation. Help them to know that with temptation there is a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You can be a friend to someone who's undergoing that temptation. You can be there for them. I think of a friend of mine, a youth pastor, who had a teen in his youth group who was struggling so badly with immorality, with pornography. He was in a family setting where everything was just free and open to him. He could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and it was so hard for this young man to get victory. And this youth pastor friend of mine, he worked out a system. And when this young man was in trouble, you know what he would do? He'd pick up the phone, and he'd call. He'd say, pray for me right now. I'm struggling so bad. I want to sin so bad, I don't know if I can stop. There were times when he'd get out of the place where he was, he'd go and meet him, and they'd pray together. Does that take some humility? Does that take some investment? Does that take some commitment? You better believe it. Is there a way of escape? Yes, there is. Sometimes it takes a humility to be willing to say, I want to be right with God so bad. I'm willing. Maybe you can't take away my temptation, but you can help me. You can encourage me. You can keep me accountable. You can tell me truth when I need to hear it. Death is another burden that no one can take away from someone else. For it is appointed unto a man once to die. What's the next burden? After this, the judgment. For we all will stand. All of us. If you're a Christian, you won't answer for your sins, but you'll answer for how you've lived your life. If you do not know Christ, death is a burden that I can't take away from you. That is a horrible penalty. If you don't know Christ, of separation from God, and no one can stand before God that day and plead for your soul. Because once you die without Christ, you are separated from God for all eternity. No one can take away the burden of death and of punishment. But in this life, there is opportunity, there is hope. And if you don't yet know Christ, you have the opportunity to know Him today as Savior, so that one day you can know Him as your King, as your Lord, to stand before Him with confidence. When I think about burdens, I picture in my mind being at the airport. You're sitting there, you've read your magazine, your phone battery is going low, you don't know what else to do, and you see, walking through the terminal there, you see a young mom, and she's struggling. You can tell a lot of things just by walking as she's going down past you. You can deduce some things. She's got a 2-year-old toddler who has not had a nap. He is not happy. He's dragging. He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to walk another step in this airport. Not only that, she's wearing an infant on her front. And she has 2 carry-ons because, you know, you have that many kids, you can take some things. And she's dragging one carry-on. She's trying to stack the other one on top of it, and it's wobbling. And she's trying to drag the kid in the other hand. What does she need at that moment? Some help, okay? Like, well, I don't know if it's my job. You know, she's got her kids. Her kid's cranky. He's making a scene. Everybody's looking at her. She needs a hand, someone to walk with her, someone to help lighten her load, to provide some momentary relief and encouragement and say, hey, you're doing a good job. You got this. You're going to make it. Now, is she likely to take off that infant and let you carry her infant? Is she likely to give you her 2-year-old? No. Do you think she might let you wheel her carry-on up to the gate for her? Why? Because there's some things that we need to carry. Some things that are our responsibility. Then there's other things sometimes that we'd be willing to let somebody share it for a minute. And it would really be a help. Sometimes we get paralyzed by not knowing, is that a burden I can help with? Is that a burden I can't help with? I don't want to get sucked in. I don't want to get overcommitted, and then it's awkward. Paul tells us in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are burdens that can't be given away. There are responsibilities and pressure that people have to bear, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can't make it go away. But there are ways that we can help. Are we fulfilling the law of Christ? To love one another. If we're going to, we must be willing to step into the lives of people around us, helping them to bear the burdens that are too heavy for one person alone. We must be bold enough to try to step in and help. We must be humble enough to take that help. Sometimes it's harder than giving the help, especially if you're a person who's used to giving the help. To be the person receiving it can be very humbling. But, as we quoted tonight, what does God do with the proud? He resists the proud. What else does He do? He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. How are we doing? Are we asking God to make us sensitive to the needs around us? Or are we too consumed with our own needs and our own problems to see if there's any way we can step into the life of somebody else and be a help to them? Who is there that God has brought to your mind today that you need to check on? Maybe a phone call you need to make. Maybe an in-person conversation you need to have. Maybe a fence you need to lean over and talk to a neighbor. Maybe a coworker that you need to pull aside. Ultimately, if you're facing a burden that you don't think that you can bear, I would remind us all that God exhorts us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Even if nobody else knows, even if nobody else sees, there is one who knows your burden. There is one who wants you to cast your care on him because he cares for you. We'll pray, and Pastor, if you'd come and close the service tonight. Father, we thank you that along with our burdens that seem so universal, we thank you that your grace is also universal. We thank you that you comfort by your word, by your spirit, and you also use people. Help us to be people who are in the restoration business, people who are in the burden-bearing, burden-sharing, and encouraging business, that we would not be so wrapped up in ourselves that we can't see the needs around us, but that by your grace, by the work of your spirit in our lives, we would know your power and help to come alongside, to comfort, to bear, or to help those who are failing, to support the weak. God, give us eyes to see the need. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together, and the instruments will play, and this is your time to seek the Lord. Pastor Alexander has opened the word to us today, and God the Spirit's been helping, and this is your time to come to him.